Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: The Limit of the Unlimited Gospel. Chapter 3. The disposition of the recipient of the gospel precedes the actual receiving of the gospel. People can study about the gospel, people can talk about the gospel, and people can hear years and years about the gospel of God, but yet do not actually receive it. Other people may even have an ongoing opportunity to access the gospel announcement, they may have the opportunity to receive information on how to gain access to it, but yet do not give due importance to it. An individual can be surrounded by the most abundant offer of the grace of God and yet not be attentive to it. In this way, in many situations where the analysis of an offer is made, the analysis of some aspects of the offerer and the offer itself is also carried out. However, often the analysis of the aspects related to the recipient of the offer stays at a second or inferior level. Moreover, regarding the gospel of God, this can also occur. Often people want to attribute to God and the announcers of the gospel of God the reason why they do not have a greater knowledge of the details of God's offer. However, as already mentioned, making a great effort to proclaim the gospel will not, in itself, benefit the recipient of this offer of God if one persists in not opening the understanding and the heart to comprehend and receive what is offered by God. The present series of subjects on the gospel of God can serve as helping tool about this gospel if one is or will become willing to understand this gospel that God offers and if one is willing to receive the heavenly offer that this same gospel seeks to grant him or her. Obviously, we are not saying here that the reader should receive the gospel of God blindly, without understanding, or without a reflection about the offer that God makes to him or her. What we mean is that as long as the reader is not willing to understand the gospel of God and to accept this offer in one's personal life, the reader will remain putting a limit and a division that keeps him or her away from the gospel of God, even if one knows it intellectually and learns about it by informative knowledge. A reality of many human beings, and perhaps more accentuated in the generations that have had access to large scale of theoretical knowledge and computers, is that they, too many times, are easily satisfied with information about something without necessarily wanting to know it for real or in fact. Thus, we understand that it is significant to highlight that the gospel of God, although also announced through an informative way, is not the transfer of just some theoretical knowledge, but, as has already been said, it is an offer of life and an offer of a living relationship with the life to be received and developed. The gospel of God is offered to be believed, trusted, and received by the one to whom it is directed. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For since, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. John 1:12-13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Bible references related to the benefits of the gospel of God and the practical attitudes of the recipients regarding this same gospel are mostly exposed in parallel or together. Moreover, while an individual actively or even passively rejects the gospel of God, he or she is not qualified to receive the benefits of this gospel, even though it is already amply available to all people. In addition, in the texts that we just saw above, it still may also be observed that the gospel is given for people to remain in it in perseverance even after they have received it, that is, it also continues to apply to Christians or for those who have already received it once. Choosing the gospel of God is not necessarily an easy choice to make, nor it is necessarily an easy option to be followed in perseverance, but it is the only option of true new life for the present time and the eternity. John 6:67-69. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Choosing the gospel of God and making an option for a life of fidelity to God can even result in some displeasures and persecutions, because when one receives the gospel of God, one receives it also in the midst of the world that is in opposition to the will of God. 2 Timothy 2:8-13. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, he cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So, the ones who expects to receive the gospel of God as a kind of life where all oppositions to live a life of fidelity to God are removed, already in the present world, are not with the eyes in the true gospel of God. Thereby, they are expecting a distorted proposal about what, in fact, is the offer of the gospel of God. The gospel of God is not a proposition for a person to set the target of material prosperity in the first place, and where all the actions of a person result in successive financial and material prosperity according to the desire and goal of the one who received the gospel. To know the gospel of God is also to know that in the writings of the gospel itself there are also included texts such as the following. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or the riches. The gospel of God is what it is and how it is. The gospel of God is not modifiable or adjustable to every taste or desire of its recipients. Regarding the gospel of God, the customer is not always right, but God is always right and knows what is good for the recipients of the offer, even when these recipients do not yet know what, in fact, is beneficial for them. Isaiah 55:6-9. Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, the gospel of God is offered to all people, and it is shared by the grace of God to those who received it. This aspect, however, does not mean that people can receive the parts that interest them and simply discard those that do not interest them, or that they can imagine or create their versions of the gospel of God. Although the gospel of God does not have limited resources for the benefit of the people who receive it, it may have limits on its acceptance by the recipients also, because it needs to be accepted in accordance with what the gospel is and with what it offers. The gospel of God is constant and unchanging from the moment of its conception and throughout all eternity, and it is quite probable that the immutability of the gospel of God is also one reason why it is so despised despite the immeasurable virtues of God's goodness. The constancy and firmness of the gospel of God are also aspects that can make it less attractive to those who seek their own interests and not the interests of true justice, peace, and life. The gospel of God is broad enough to save people in the most diverse situations in which they encounter themselves on earth, as well as, together with salvation, to grant them new life shared from the heavenly kingdom. The gospel of God came to save those who are subjected to darkness and under the shadow of death to grant them a new life and a new walking according to the will of God. The gospel of God, however, is inflexible about the contents that are offered and how these contents are offered to people. If people, in general, understood that the gospel of God is immutable and if they would invest more in the understanding of what it really is, also to know better the greatness that is already in it, instead of trying to change it and shape it to their own interests, many of them probably would come to a more accelerated acceptance of the gospel than they do today. Thus, for more wonderful and extensive that the gospel of God is, the receiving of the offer of this gospel depends on the recipient of the gospel to hear how it is, to see what it is, and to accept it how it is. When a person receives the gospel of God as God offers it, one cooperates with the Lord and oneself so that the revelation of the gospel also grows and manifests itself more widely in his or her life each new day. Romans 5, 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6, 1-2. We then, as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Matthew 13, 15. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. The gospel of God can be received in such a way that abundant grace comes from it. The gospel is offered so that a person can receive grace upon grace. John 1, 16-17. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The gospel of God, however, can also be rejected by the hardness of one's heart in receiving it. The gospel of God, although it offers eternal salvation and endless benefits, finds a limit or border, to be shared, in the disposition of the heart of those to whom it is offered. At this point of this subject, we would like to express that the explanation of this chapter is not intended to accentuate condemnation or accusation to any person, even if they have already despised or rejected the gospel of God on several occasions. Instead, the purpose is to emphasize the importance that every person has in one's relationship with the gospel, so that each one may still incline the heart to this gospel in time to reach the salvation and abundant grace bestowed by the Lord through this heavenly offer. Hebrews 3, 12-15. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. It should be recalled here again, that the reference to the need for the recipient's participation in receiving the offer does not mean to say that people wanted or sought for this gift. The search for the gospel of God is not something that comes from human beings, For people moved so far from their Creator that they even no longer sought Him. Romans 3:10-12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside, they have together become unprofitable, there is none who does good, no, not one. As we have said several times above, the gospel of God is an offer as a gift, and as such, it has its origin in the one who presents this offer. The initiative to offer the gospel comes from God and proceeds from Him regardless of whether the recipients of the gospel accept it or not. God extends His offer to the whole humanity. Nevertheless, the delivery of the gospel takes into account the disposition that the recipient of the gospel has in receiving it. Romans 3:21-26. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. The initiative to expose the offer of the gospel of God to the world is from the Lord, and He presents Himself at the door of every human heart to also present His heavenly offer. However, to open or does not open the heart is in the hands of those to whom the gospel has been offered. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Even though the gospel of God already has been publicly and openly revealed to the world, when God sent His beloved Son to provide for the redemption of the people who dwell in it, the offer to the acceptance of this gospel still continues to be done to every individual and still awaits personal participation in faith of each recipient of the gospel. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Moreover, at the end of this chapter, we would like to emphasize once again that the greatest characteristic of the offer of God in His gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no salvation in the gospel of God outside the acceptance of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His work on the cross of Calvary for the redemption of the recipients of the gospel of God. The acceptance or non-acceptance of the gospel of God is equivalent, respectively, to the acceptance or non-acceptance of the Lordship of Christ. Therefore, if one is willing and accepts the Lordship of Christ in his or her life, one receives the gospel of God. However, if one is not willing to accept the Lordship of Jesus Christ in his or her life, one is also unwilling to accept the gospel of God. Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 2 Timothy 1:8-12. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day.